With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And this is a special bonus episode as part of the Scum and Villainy Fan Cantina in Hollywood's May the 4th celebration, as we couldn't go down there and enjoy some of their fine food and beverage as we would like to do on May the 4th. They did a 24-hour live stream with all these different panels and interviews, and it was incredible what they put together. So I have to give my full props to Jen and JC at the Scum and Villainy for putting on such a lineup. What you're about to listen to is the audio of the A New Hope viewing party that we had, that you can either watch along on Disney Plus. It is the Disney Plus version, or you can just listen to it and you'll be able to hear a little bit of the film in the background. And we don't necessarily talk about what's on screen the whole time. We talk about our Star Wars experiences and memories and the way we confused things that were in the film. It was an awesome chat. It was really, I had a ball doing it, and I did it with JC, who is one of the proprietors of the Scum and Villainy, Jen Morrow, who wrote the Forces of Destiny cartoon series for Lucasfilm, and Todd Stashwick, who is a very accomplished actor, and as I found on this commentary, a Star Wars mega fan. So some friends were made during the commentary, which was super, super cool. And once you listen to this, either along with the film or just in audio form, and you've got some time, and a lot of us have a lot of time right now, check out the Scum and Villainy Cantina's Facebook page. I will link to it in the show notes, because I'm pretty sure most of this is available on archive. And you've got a Star Wars prequels discussion with Ahmed Best. Come on. You know, he's doing it with Kyle Newman, Sam Witwer, Claire Grant, Daniel Logan, and John Morrow. Kevin Smith did an Empire Strikes Back commentary. James Arnold Taylor did a Q&A. This one's very interesting. Chloe Dykstra interviews her dad, John Dykstra, who invented the Dykstra Flex camera during the production of Star Wars A New Hope. So that's cool. Kevin Rubio's up there, and Greg Gunberg is doing some stuff. There's a panel with our former guests, Laura Siracule and Ash Crozen, who incidentally just did a spectacular interview with Dave Filoni about the end of the Clone Wars. Check that out. I think it's on the Entertainment Tonight YouTube. It's really good. Very interesting. And Jesse and Leonard Moulton talk Star Wars with JC. There's so much stuff. And again, props to Jen and JC for doing this. It was really cool. And once things go back to relative normal life, if you're over in LA, make sure you swing past the Scum and Villainy Cantina on Hollywood Boulevard. It is just a great vibe. I very much would like to be able to visit there very, very soon. So here's hoping. Let's head over to JC with the introductions. Enjoy four gushing fans talking about one of the greatest things ever projected on a big white wall.
Live? We're live. Thank you so much, Brandon and Geeky Tikis. I have had about 40 text messages and some words of encouragement from Todd Stashwick here that he's already gone
shopping. No, I'm literally on the Sideshow site right now purchasing my mugs.
So what we're going to do here is I'm going to introduce everybody. First off, we have Todd Stashwick. Todd is an actor who, if you look at his IMDb, has been in everything. And
I was on I Love Lucy.
That was a neat trick.
Playing Lucy's grandfather, too, which you can't, I don't know how that worked. But
it was the Marvel aging makeup CG effect.
But
what was Star Wars like when it came out and you were 40?
just mind blowing.
You have aged yourself, sir.
Todd and I met at the cantina. He had his birthday party here while we were still a pop-up, and then he was a guest on Fat Man Beyond, and I noticed his Star Wars tattoos, and I was like, I gotta talk to that guy more. Next up, we've got Jen Murrow. Jen is a writer on a show you may have seen called Forces of Destiny, and she is involved with the new Critical Role project that's now at Amazon, the most funded Kickstarter basically ever. So no big deal there.
Yeah.
And then we have Steele Saunders, who runs a wildly popular Star Wars podcast that mixes his stand-up background with his love of Star Wars, which is genuine and childlike, and he loves Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker, and that is my favorite. So I had to have Steele here as well.
We are so, Skywalker brothers in arms.
So we are running a little bit behind, and I'm sure people are eager to watch A New Hope. So
it's
why don't
favorite
we?
Favorite film of all time.
It's mine as well, and I don't know if you guys caught it earlier, but I tricked Leonard Maltin into saying that A New Hope is actually better than Empire Strikes Back.
I contend that as well.
I do too.
Yep. Which is probably why we're here.
Right. We didn't talk about it ahead of time. I'm just saying this worked out.
I just feel bad that you tried to trick Leonard Maltin. He's
okay. All of us have some device with A New Hope queued up on it on Disney Plus. The way this is going to have to work because of quarantine, I'm going to count down. I'll do 3, 2, 1, and then you hit play, and then we'll all watch the movie together. And
so it's 3, 2, 1, play.
Yes.
Okay.
Are we doing that too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I better cue that up then.
Yeah.
All right.
How I normally do it is I normally press play on the video, then pause, then rewind the little dot.
That's what I've done.
Yeah, I'm watching it off of Disney Plus, so I have it exactly.
Should I put it on a small TV?
I have it on my laptop.
Okay.
Yeah, you could probably run it side by side. The we're watching the McClunky version, people. The McClunky version of A New Hope.
Spoilers.
I figure that's the one that everybody has easy access to because the world is a member.
Sebulba said it first, did he not?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And I think it means prepare to die.
Oh. Wouldn't it be nice if in English there was a single word that meant prepare to die? Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. McClunky. I don't know. I don't know if that makes that movie any stronger, but
it's not what you say, it's how you say it, Jason.
How's your May the 4th been, guys?
Good. I watched the last two Clone Wars episodes.
No spoilers.
Nope, and I posted some pictures from Scum and Villainy.
Oh, awesome.
Of you and I.
Oh, amazing. Look at that.
Right. I watched the final Clone Wars, and the big spoiler is that it's not overhyped. It is amazing.
It's amazing.
I've got some friends that just absolutely adore everything Clone Wars. And it lived up to their highest dreams. So.
Those last four episodes are another movie.
Yeah, they are spectacular. Just a step ahead of all the other animation they've done. It's amazing. And I watched that Mandalorian documentary, which was ace.
Is it good?
And perfect timing for today's announcement with Taika being a director. Yeah.
So I think we're gonna watch Rise tonight. So we're bookending it with a new hope.
Perfect.
And tonight we'll watch Rise of Skywalker. I usually watch the screen one or negative one edition every May the 4th. You know what this is?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I think it's called the negative one edition. So somebody got a hold of a copy of A New Hope, a print from like a film print, and then digitally cleaned it up. And so it is the original theatrical release, but in high def.
That is also the one I watch. I just did not know.
That's what I watch every May the 4th.
I love that. And I actually, I like the changes he's made. I just wish that we also had those other versions available.
I'm not sure that I like the belittling of Jabba the Hutt from Han Solo.
That's true. Yeah. Although what's funny about that is that was in there originally.
But he also chose to cut it out for real.
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't walk over the Scottish guy's tail.
Oh. and therein lies the problem.
But so that cut's called the negative one?
Like it's team negative one, I believe it's called.
Wow, it sounds like someone I blocked on Twitter.
team negative one, and it's a pristine. It's just gorgeous, but it still has a film grain to it because it's not a digital copy. Well, it's a cleaned up film from a film print.
Oh, and what's interesting about it is you notice how different the lightsabers and the colors are. They have, every time they've re-released Star Wars, they've upped the saturation by like 50%. So now it looks like a cartoon. But it was fairly washed out when it was released.
Who was there at the beginning? Who saw it in 77?
Not I.
Oh, not I.
Jen?
No, alas, I was not born. Oh, wait, no, I was born. I was
8. So thus my indoctrination began. I mean, literally was like life before that weekend my uncle took me and my cousin to see it, and then life after.
All right, are we all ready?
We are ready.
Okay, ready? Wait, remember, 3, 2, 1, push. All right, here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, push. So right now, I'm
20th Century Fox logo.
Got 20th Century Fox logo. If you're,
I love the fact that Disney bought them, so now they can put that up, because this music has always been part of the Star Wars soundtrack.
I was hoping that Rise of Skywalker would have the Fox logo in front of it, just like Filoni did with the old Lucasfilm logo in the new Clone Wars episodes. That was what I was hoping for with Rise of Skywalker.
Here's a fun fact. So see this starfield? Speaking of Rise of Skywalker, when Rey is on the ground at the end looking up at the stars, this is the starfield that she sees.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So
that'd be so weird if like the opening crawl of Return of the Jedi. Like,
I know. It's still I like the ships like flying past like, and these huge letters are still there.
Yeah, like the Phantom Zone in Superman. Like. I think the crawl and that whole the starfield and the logo going back, I just wish they'd put that in front of every movie. And as much,
every movie you ever go see, like Meet the Parents,
yeah, whatever. But just like at the start of the Mandalorian, I don't know. It just sort of sets. It just Star Wars is instantly Star Wars is everything.
When I was at USC, they showed this in sound class. Tomlinson Holman invented THX, and they showed this without the music, and we learned how important the sound was because it would flow as hell without the music.
Oh yeah.
And then when
it's startling.
It's startling. And we were, you know, it was just really cool to see it on a giant screen at USC.
When I first saw it, it didn't even say A New Hope.
That's right. That's right.
That was added in the re-release, right? In 1979, before Empire?
Yeah. I have the opening crawl on a tapestry in my nerd lair hanging on the ceiling.
Heck yeah, you do. I've seen it.
You've seen it.
Pretty bad.
So, now, I don't remember a world... Like, my first memory is watching Return of the Jedi. So, I don't think I had the impact of what this was. Do you guys remember watching A New Hope for the first time?
Yeah.
I remember not understanding why the back of the Star Destroyer was like fisheye. But they use a different camera. I don't really understand camera and lenses and stuff, but it was sort of like a bent, like a skateboard photo. And that always, I was like, what happened to Star Wars just then? Like, I had no knowledge of cinematography or anything. I was like, seems bent. That was maybe my first memory of Star Wars.
I love this moment because this sets up the fact that 3PO's a stinking liar. When he says, there'll be no escape for the princess this time, and then later when he's talking to Luke, he just like feigns like, I don't know whose ship we were on or where we were going.
That wasn't a mistake at all.
Do you think R2 is like, looks on C-3PO as like a sibling, and that's why he still puts up with him? Do you think it seems like almost like a odd couple relationship where they're very abusive to each other, and you just can't hear how abusive
R2 is. Clearly smarter than 3PO, and that annoys 3PO.
It's like Abbott and Costello with less flailing, or maybe as much flailing.
Weird because in The Rise of Skywalker they really show their appreciation for each other for the first time, so it's like, when did they start that now? Did they grow over time? Like,
well, no, because if you remember at the end of this, when he gets blown up the trench run, yep. 3PO is all verklempt.
Yeah, you're right.
And so they are like a very old married couple. They only appreciate each other. You know, don't know what you got till it's gone.
How's all these guys that died to not even get an action figure? They sacrificed it all. And like the franchise did not reward them with plastic for 20 years.
Even in Rogue One, they got screwed.
Yeah, they're just like...
I love this. I love every blast misses them.
That was very confusing to me as a child.
I loved it. The Force is strong with them.
I never understood as a kid that the ship was inside the Star Destroyer.
I thought it
was like they blasted a hole in the side of the spaceship. I couldn't quite figure this out.
Right. And when I was 8, I thought all the stormtroopers were robots.
And
everybody did.
A fun production fact is that scene is why Darth Vader's got a mask, because Ralph McQuarrie drew him with the mask because he figured if you're jumping from ship to ship, you'd need some sort of protection. So he drew Darth Vader with the mask to...
Instead of trivia.
Yeah, because there's those Ralph McQuarrie production sort of, you know, concept things, and Luke has got a mask as well, like the Starkiller sort of Skywalker guy.
I love when you watch R2-D2 roll down that hallway that he's actually about to roll into the wall, and they take it to the last possible frame before... I also think it's awesome that they introduce Princess Leia first. You see her 15 minutes before you meet Luke Skywalker.
Oh, it so effortlessly trickles in the characters like as you go, like so Wizard of Oz style.
What would you guys say the inciting incident is? The droids falling to Tatooine, or her putting the plans in R2?
I would say the escape pod, but that's just me.
The escape pod where they're just like, you know what, let's save the energy. The Green New Deal has been put in place by Palpatine, and they don't want to waste the blaster bolts.
Family Guy do that very funny where they're like, you don't do the books. You don't know. It costs per blast or whatever. It's really funny.
Hey, Jen, if there's any Forces of Destiny things that you added, like, you know, you got to do in between the scenes on this, I'd love for you to, like, bring it up and talk about how it came
out. Well, this is my one regret is the only of the trilogy I didn't touch was A New Hope. I did Rogue One, Last Jedi, Empire, and...
Return of the Jedi, there was some stuff.
Return of the Jedi, yeah. So A New Hope is my one regret I didn't get to do, which is a bummer.
Well, don't bring any of those
one, which was right before.
So if you read the A New Hope novel...
This.
What's up?
I was just quoting C-3PO.
If you read the New Hope novel, they explain that a little better, which is also something I never understood. He goes, you can't go in there. It's restricted. But in the book, it's restricted to humans only. They kind of explain it in the book.
Interesting. Who wrote the book? Do you happen to know?
Well, George Lucas is credited, but I'm sure there is a ghostwriter.
It's Dean Allen Foster.
He wrote Splinter, but did he write the novelization
But
Lucas is credited.
They don't
credit Alan Dean Foster.
But they never used to credit. Didn't they not credit C-3PO and R2-D2? Like they were keeping that, trying to keep the mystery up or something. But then he came back and wrote The Force Awakens, I think.
Oh, he did?
Well,
It's
like poetry. It all rhymes.
This is what I kind of love about Star Wars, and maybe what makes it more rewatchable than a lot of movies is they just throw you into this, and they're just like, I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
The rebel line for the traitor.
How are we supposed to understand what this means? Like, it makes
it doesn't matter.
Sense, but it doesn't matter.
Her British accent tells you it's important.
I just have to jump in. I've hated this guy for, all my life. Just the little.
But it's all ADR too. All of their dialogue is ADR.
Look at him nodding at the wrong time. What a dog! See?
Did you know? Later on, there's that scene where Vader's going like this to Tarkin, but they haven't. Yeah. They just cut the dialogue out, like nobody had ever noticed. Which, to be fair, they were probably like, people are going to watch this movie in the theaters once. And
I think the worst matched up is when he goes, I haven't felt a presence like this since, and then the just sort of dangles and he's off.
But to your point, JC, I always loved when I was a little kid and now that it talked to you like you knew what was going on already. And
it let you catch up, yeah.
Yeah, and it sort of, it didn't like overly explain everything and it was like you were joining in the middle, it was part of the whole universe created. Like, it wasn't things getting explained to each other, for the first time. It was you were just sort of watching this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. This one is very, verite, and it has that jangly 70s feel to it. As opposed to, in Empire, things get, locked down a lot more. There's so much more handheld-y moments in this, where they find things.
And the lighting.
Ugh. Everything. This is a gorgeous movie.
Yeah. What, if you're stranded in the desert, do you take the rocky path or do you take the sandy path?
I would say the rocky path.
Oh, yeah.
I never understood that. The rocks make sense. So you maybe catch some shade, a place to sit down. What's C-3PO thinking?
R2 is the smarter of the two.
Makes no sense. Why would you want to walk over that hill? Look, R2 goes downhill the whole way.
R2 knows stuff that we don't even still know to this day. Like, he's thinking stuff. Like, maybe he remembers things. What's the gasp? There's a gasp.
Oh, no. There's a one angle. This. I've been there and put my little action figure and you can line up.
Oh,
all the
you've
mountains.
Been to Tunisia?
No, in Death Valley.
But that shot out of Tunisia.
No, that shot is Death Valley. It's
I thought they didn't go to Death Valley till Jedi.
No, they did pick up shots. There's a few shots in this with when the Jawas capture.
What shot are you talking about?
Just the shot of R2 going over the hill.
The sand duney stuff is more Tunisia. And the shot where the Tusken Raider sees the little speck of light that's supposed to be the land speeder, I also believe is Death Valley.
Yeah, and Mos Eisley's Death Valley. It's a salt flat. And you can go stand up on a different. Like the mountains in Tunisia, but then the salt flats in Death Valley.
Interesting.
And so they went back there to film that establishing shot for The Mandalorian in Episode 5.
When we were at the ranch and I got to see the shower curtain or the shower door that Macquarie painted the sandcrawler on for that shot, and they kind of pull it out and it literally is that big, painted on just glass, nothing else except that. Fantastic.
Todd has had the distinct pleasure of I've been lucky enough to go to Skywalker Ranch a number of times, but Todd one-ups everybody because you were in the archives.
You got to go to the archives.
Yeah, I didn't even get to do that, you bastard.
Yeah, they give us no, you're not allowed to touch anything except they give you these rubber gloves and then they take out the original Macquaries. So like I'm leafing through these original paintings and they're like this big, and I'm trying not to weep on them because they're plucking every childhood string in my heart. And I'm like, I'm going to cry and smear the Macquaries. So I had to take a step back.
The next person that looks at him's like, I love how he botched it around here. And they're like, no, that's just the last dude's tears.
That's just nerd tears. Just nerd tears.
Did the Jawas scare you? That was always That was always a jump scare moment for me. Like, I remember it being a jump scare moment for me. So like,
you mean they got shot?
Yeah, I always got scared.
I always wondered why people that seem so happy were so mean, like to the droids. Because afterwards they're like, yeah, like they seem like happy little dudes.
They're just toasters to the Jawas. They just something you buy and sell like a used car.
Hey, I treat my toaster pretty well.
It's
probably shaped like a Death Star.
Came across some information that the Sandcrawler in Mando was actually the same map painting that they
saw. Oh.
So they went back to the well, which I love. Are you guys
some of the same texts that I'm getting?
Probably. are you guys video game people?
Not in this decade.
So, me either. Earlier this morning, we did a live video game play of the Super Star Wars video game, which for the Super Nintendo, which is absolutely crazy if you compare it to this movie. Like, it makes no sense. And it almost feels more like the stuff that they showed in The Mandalorian, where he's like, gotta attack the Sandcrawler and the Jawas. You're like, oh my God. John Favreau just loves Super Star Wars, and he just built a TV show around the most wild parts of it. These droids always scared me too. The bug-eyed droid.
Oh yeah, that was one of the action figures they released back in the day.
Yeah, frightening.
Oh, it was the best. He was like, "I'm looking for my for something to hang on." This will probably be at the very bottom.
Also, like, who decided that the Gonk droid was... Oh, man. The that's the first Star Wars video game.
Oh, my God.
That's from my 2600.
Oh, man.
Which I had to move so that I could do our little setup here.
Then that one was scary.
With the human eyes.
And just, like, I think he came back in Empire in, like, maybe on Bespin. He was sort of thrown out there as well, but... Yeah, that dude's... Oh,
they're awful. Just that dead-eyed stare, and his head just keeps... He's having, like, a bit of an attack.
They just kind of went for it. Like, George, I think, got more sensitive to, like, people's perception of what these movies were supposed to be.
Bit of 96 action. Is it 96? I don't know. Very 90s.
97. So. 97. Yes.
I also love in this moment when an entire pod crashed... He picks up one little O-ring seal and he goes, "Look, sir, droids." Like, couldn't be any other part from said crashed pod. This guy has a degree in droids.
The Jewbacks look so much
better. There it is. Look, sir, droids. And I just like, he deduced that is connected to that.
So this is a new shot. It didn't used to be this. It used to be like a RC car driving over a sandbox, which... I think I just love the nostalgia of the crappy looking. But I think it's also, like I mentioned earlier, the coloring what felt more real. Whereas this, I was like, oh, that looks fake.
Do we know when they're, I mean, are they ever releasing the original? I don't know what's happening with that. I haven't checked in a long time.
They own Fox now, so they could. But I think they want everybody to buy the $200 Skywalker Saga box.
Who would have done that already?
Box set.
Yeah. I won't do anything they want to get the other thing.
Yeah,
like that's the irony of it, that everyone wants like George Lucas's wishes and spirit and story of Star Wars to continue, but then he also doesn't want those other versions out. So, like, it's not... I feel like they're honoring his wish rather than...
I miss Yub-Nub.
Look at the lens flares just popping off of 3PO here. It's just gorgeous. They're like little light aberration.
yeah.
Or on like the mining droid there.
And it's always
look at that. Oh, look at that.
Oh yeah.
It's always fun to try to make out the graves that Anakin dug.
Oh yeah.
Dark, wicked dark.
They were like, should we put the graves in? No, but we need Greedo to say McClunky.
Wow. Well, I just love how loose they are acting wise. Yeah, what are you trying to scam me? Like, I don't know. And then when Luke like waves off 3PO, like, shut up.
Oh, I always imagined Bocce was like Italian.
Yes,
because it sounds like a little bit Italian.
Jen, you want to weigh in on this one?
Yeah, it's funny because I was watching the prequels recently. I'm like, wow, they got Italian in there directly via accent from Phantom Menace, and maybe that's making up for this not having anything. I don't know.
Did you guys understand what a protocol droid was? I feel like I was 17 years old and I was like, oh, a protocol droid. That makes sense. Of course they wouldn't. Need it. Yeah. I had
That's
no idea what
Anakin
that was.
Would make it for his mother so that
yeah.
he could
translate.
I just thought that was like a made up word. Like, oh, he's a protocol droid. What does that mean? I don't know. The same thing as astromech.
Yeah, right.
My headcanon thinks that 3PO's brain existed long before Anakin got it, and he just was putting a new skin on it.
Oh,
because
I think that
droids have like 300 years of history.
Like, that's a good way also to kind of like rationalize and retcon all the history of those two.
They've been together forever.
Yeah,
and the Force kind of keeps bringing them back together.
And they wipe their memories when? Rogue One? When did they wipe their memories?
At the end of Rogue One.
Well, R2 never.
At the end of Sith.
Yeah. R2 no, though. Just see.
Watch how he waves off 3PO.
Also,
my favorite moment.
Did you notice that R5-D4 is in that previous shot next to R2-D2 as well?
Yeah.
thanks for ruining the movie, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now C-3PO like shames him.
I know. It's because he's jealous of him.
Now, did you guys understand that the like igloo was underground and you can see the T-16 Skyhopper on the like behind R2-D2 there? Did you guys ever know that that's what that is? He's playing with a toy.
Oh yeah, it's right there.
That was a reveal when I got the widescreen videos,
mm-hmm.
and like you sort of got to watch a like a ghetto special edition by seeing those extra inches on the side
like
of the screen.
The Tusken Raider. No, there's sand people. All right, I can see one of them now. I was like, I don't see any freaking sand people. What are they talking? And then I got the widescreen. So I was like, this is. I've got 30% more Star Wars than I've ever had before.
And this is where 3PO lies to him. But he tells him he has no idea. Hello.
But part of his protocol would be not to spill the beans.
I think it's great. I love it.
I also like that C-3PO has obviously been through some crap because, like, he's like, that's how I came to be in your service, the Rebellion. And Luke's like, the Rebellion? He's like, oops. Like, he's a robot that makes mistakes.
I'm not very good at telling stories. Cut to Jedi. I love it.
Well, I read a whole thing about how every character in the original trilogy has their own hero's journey, and that's how you indicate C-3PO's. Is I'm not his hero's journey ends when he tells the story of
the
heroes.
He's a bard. Yeah.
Okay, this is a fun thing that I misconstrued when I was little. I thought R2-D2 was broken. And mm-hmm. was just showing, like, he couldn't play it all. But then later on, my headcanon is he was just giving Luke Skywalker enough sizzle
to take the restraining bolt off.
Yeah, and to, like, sort of continue on with his movie.
Yeah, he's manipulating him.
I was today years old when I figured that out. Thank you, Steel. I literally, yesterday, I was like, oh, R2-D2 malfunctions. Like, I've I've underestimated R2-D2, which we know you never underestimate a droid.
Never underestimate
39 years. And it's a
private so he's manipulating him. I don't know
what he's talking about. Oh.
He's like, you don't get.
I mean, he's sitting here looking at Leia, and Flippio's going, "I don't know who she is."
Ooh. You guys, hold on. I have goosebumps up and down my legs and my back. I feel like this door to Star Wars has been opened. That even after 1,000 viewings of this movie, I had no idea. I have tears in my eyes. This is why you do this.
Happy May the 4th, buddy.
Right, that's a good gift.
Oh. I'm like energized. I've been live on this feed for 16 hours, and I feel like I have that jet fuel from Solo in my veins now. So is part of the transmission? Did Leia tell R2-D2 where Obi-Wan Kenobi is?
I always thought he knew, or later on, I sort of thought he knew where he was because of how sure R2 was to go that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then if you remember, when he actually runs into Kenobi, it's kind of in that Rocky Canyon-ish area.
Could you imagine, like, R2-D2...
In the jungling waste.
He was, like, 8 minutes from Obi-Wan's hut, and, like, the thing shoots him. He's like,
so close.
Back to square one.
Now, yep. Is that Darth Maul's tattoo on the...
You and I have heard the same rumor. It is not, but obviously we thought the exact same thing. Now, here's another way to ruin Star Wars. Watch where the cup is in Luke's... Which hand the cup is in as Luke drinks the blue milk here. Which... Shameless plug, we're selling blue milk on Hollywood Boulevard until 10 p.m. for $11.38 today.
Nice.
Now, Todd, are you one of the people who believed that you saw that renegade cut with the anchorhead scenes, that Mandela effect cut, when really you saw the picture book that came out with the movie?
No, I only saw the anchorhead scenes when they were re-released. I do not Berenstain bear that.
This scene is like Star Wars is like this amazing accident, but how they have this conversation about Luke's father and getting in trouble, and I'm afraid he's got his he's just got his father in him. That's what I'm afraid of.
No,
like that's not what it meant. But it fits, and this is part of the reason I've been loving these Clone Wars arc. It like it adds to what's established without sort of like twisting it, or it actually meant this or whatever. It's incredible how well Empire Strikes Back like just fits with this amazingly. Is Jen, is that sort of like... Did you have a, when you were writing The Force of Destiny, like one that you added in, a little backstory where you were just like, yes, I've empired this. This fits so tightly.
You mean in terms of like what happened? What happened? What just happened?
Twin sons.
His childhood just happened. No, like when like you add in a little bit of backstory, you know, like how Leia got the bush costume, like, you know, adding in little things behind the scenes. Like, what was your favorite one where you sort of empired it? With all due respect to the twin sun scene. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah. No. This is an important moment.
This music, man.
Oh yeah. We're gonna just let that sit a minute.
That's JC thinking about opening a bar in Hollywood.
And then there's Luke's droid collar, which is really probably like turned into Yoda's lightsaber later.
But to answer your question, it would probably be Jedi with Leia on Endor, because I love that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was amazing, and I'm grateful. Also on Hoth. Was also amazing to do that at the beginning.
What was the Hoth one?
The Hoth one was they were digging tunnels early on, and we kind of did the whole the door thing, the cut scene of the door where don't enter. Like that's it all connected.
Sick. It's too dangerous. A lot of sand people in there.
I'm going to ruin Empire for you guys.
Oh, God.
So, you know when they're in and the ground goes unstable while they're inside the Falcon, and then Leia falls mm-hmm. into his lap? And she says, it's hardly enough to get me excited, that line. Harrison Ford is mouthing Carrie Fisher's lines while she says them.
Does that mean Han Solo is force sensitive?
Well, I'm going to have to go with that
okay.
so that I don't realize that it was just that's the only take they had.
Everybody's all about the blue milk. I'm about like the Beru stew here.
I know.
Like dropping cabbage.
I want that cooker.
Yeah.
This bummed me out when I was little because I was like, you know, I'm Luke Skywalker's me in this, and it just looked like what they were eating was so drab. Like boiled yes. cabbage. It's like, oh man, this is such a bummer.
They're farm people.
Now, do you think that they farm, you know, according to episode 2, Kleeg Lars says that that Shmi was harvesting mushrooms. Do you think they harvest mushrooms off the evaporators? What are they growing?
Moisture.
Moisture farmers, are they just...
They're just pulling the moisture out of the air?
I think they're...
And harvesting the water?
Yeah.
There's some trivia. Kleeg Lars played my father in a television pilot.
What year?
Jack Thompson and Annie Potts played my mother in the same pilot.
Oh,
God, that must have been forever ago.
It was called The Kerenskys, yeah.
If you want to have some fun on the internet, and who doesn't, Google Jack Thompson centerfold. You know, in Australia, he's like very famous.
Yeah.
And he was quite a heartthrob in the 70s. And you can see Kleeg Lars like... hairy full chest and all. It's
full Kleeg.
The full Kleeg, seriously.
So real quick, Todd just revealed that he is actually Owen Lars and Anakin Skywalker's stepbrother.
Ah.
You said that, I didn't have to.
He has
I like
the
how they also they rock the footage there because they didn't have enough of
yes.
the Tusken Raider doing that. So
okay.
it sort of goes.
I've never noticed that. Oh my gosh.
This is my craziest... This is the one thing I want to ask George Lucas, is he CGIs an extra rock in front of R2-D2 in this scene.
Yep.
Now, I'm not even... I don't even want to know, like, if you think it's good or bad, but it's like, you've got this film with all these effects. How do you watch it again after 30 years and go, we need a rock? Like, what is happening in his head? Like, it's just...
I think it's because they didn't want the Tusken Raiders to steal R2, so R2 had to look more hidden.
Because
if he was there, they would have confiscated him first.
It just marvels me that he just wants, like, I wish I could have controlled that cave a bit better. Like, it's that's what he like honed in on one of these changes. It's so fascinating.
The thing that I always knew, but I also just realized, is that Obi-Wan, Alec Guinness Obi-Wan, and Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan. Have the hello there line.
Oh, yeah. But it came from this moment. That's why Ewan does it.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I was like 3 days ago. I was like, oh, wait, they both say it. Oh, that's why James Arnold Taylor always leads with that.
Hey, did you guys used to hear people quote that before the prequels, though? It's a different time because there's no internet, but I felt like Alec Guinness did it. And then, like, Ewan McGregor did the remix that became, like, the huge hit.
Yes, and there's no memes of Alec Guinness doing it. They are all Ewan standing up into frame.
Yes.
Hello. Well, Alec Guinness is a bit too civilized for memes.
He's too civilized for himself. We know all know how he felt.
The music sting there is so good. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Right there.
Have you guys listened to David Collins' podcasts on the soundtracks?
I have not caught it yet. But I love it.
Oh, they're so good.
On the soundtrack show, he goes through each film, analyzing all of Williams' work, and he takes like 3 or 4 episodes per movie. They're fantastic.
I feel like who? I think Sam Witwer.
Yeah,
it's
probably.
Been on a long time, right?
Well, David Collins used to do it on Rebel Force Radio, and then now he's got his own soundtrack show. So he does more than just Star Wars. He just had a series on the Superman ones that are excellent. Superman the movie.
squirrel.
I think it's interesting also that Obi-Wan's like, well, we got to go inside because the sand people are really dangerous and easily startled, but nothing scares them more than four walls and a roof.
They don't venture out of their territory.
Wait a minute. The best wipe in cinema history coming up right here. The best wipe ever. I don't think
I can make it. This is so, just leave me here to die. No, no, go on without me. He's such a fop. He's like on a fainting.
Here we go. Watch that wipe.
Oh, that was great.
And then Obi-Wan in the special edition got an upgrade on his house and property. He got a mountain view.
Watch how 3PO just goes all dead-eye when he shuts down here. If you won't be needing me, I'll just... I was once a
Jedi. Bye. Was your father. Do you hear, you know, you fought in the Clone Wars? Do you hear that differently now after watching the cartoon?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, like,
is it like a major flashback in your head? And then you're like, oh, yeah.
I think just context, if nothing else.
Well, you guys have seen the cut where he talks about Anakin and they cut to him leaving him on fire on the beach.
Yes, he was a good friend.
Your father's lightsaber. He killed many younglings with it.
I don't really connect with it when I watch this, but when I see people that do like those edits, like, you know, mixing the footage between all the sagas, and like that's when it really gets me. Like it says he was an old friend, and it goes like to that footage.
Yeah.
The music is great. The weapon of a
Jedi Knight. It's also like Luke's lightsaber is basically white here.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. And then Kenner was like, you know what color that looks like? Yellow. That looks like yellow to me.
Which is kind of cool that Rey's final lightsaber is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it doesn't like extend out of her wrist.
Should have been like she should have had her elbow, her hand cut off at the arm, cut off at the elbow, and her lightsaber was cybernetically put on.
Yeah, so she's like, she's like Furiosa.
Yes.
Not a terrible idea.
Help the Empire
hunt down and destroy. Oh man. Alec Guinness is so good.
First big lie. Now the Jedi are all but extinct.
Vader was seduced. For someone who hated this so much, he did a great job.
Yes. The Force?
That's how good an actor he is. What gives the Jedi power.
It's an energy field created by all the things. I have heard binds the galaxy together. Some of these movies with just the dialogue tracks. And it is amazing to hear what's ADR and like how much background noise is in certain scenes. And like you hear C-3PO's plastic all clanking around, even in dialogue that's still in the movie. Years ago, you served
my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him. The best moment in Last Jedi is when R2 uses this again to manipulate Luke.
I am, Steele and I have had at length discussions. I'm not the biggest Last Jedi fan, but I think that that scene
that
may be one of the best scenes in all of Star Wars, because there's no other scene in Star Wars where it's just like R2 is manipulating you and he's manipulating Luke using the same tool.
Yeah,
like it works just like on all these different levels.
Beautiful.
It is one of the best moments in Star Wars.
I think that was my trump card of just like, how about this scene? And you're like, okay.
That's why when going back to what we were saying about Obi-Wan lying, when people were thinking like JJ retcon what Ryan said about making her parents nobodies, but then they were Palpatines. It's like, no, Star Wars is filled with people lying to each other or not knowing all the facts until they spool out later.
I mean, is Obi-Wan's kind of Gandalf-y in that way, right? Where he's just
and literally, like Lucas was pulling from that.
And he's like, Gandalf is a manipulative liar, and that's who Obi-Wan Kenobi is. The great, we're going to call him the great negotiator, but...
Yes, from a certain point of view. It's his get out of jail free phrase.
He most likes to negotiate with the facts.
He is the origin of alternative facts.
Oh, don't make me hate Obi-Wan.
Oh, no, but he'll deliver the Chosen One.
That is fair.
Until this battle this guy. Fully operational, we are
vulnerable. Who's your favorite British Imperial?
That dude with the helmet.
We've got Mahdi. Tag.
That's Tag, you know.
I like Chief Bast, who's the guy over his shoulder, because he had a really powerful card in the Decipher CCG card game.
But the MVP in the scene is when he says, "Sorcerer's ways."
And then the dude in the white is Colonel Wolf Ularin, who is the commander of the forces in the Clone Wars cartoon.
I love pondering who knew what about Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader. It's such a fun little... Like, in that Tarkin book, Tarkin was sort of trying to suss it out and stuff. It's fascinating.
There's a retcon that says that the empty chair would be Krennic.
Oh!
It's just
brilliant!
Upsetting.
That's isn't that too much fill in the blank? It gets to almost like the world is so small. Do you ever feel that?
It makes sense.
Oh, it totally.
He would be at that table,
right?
And it's again going back to what JC said earlier, or no, it was Steele, about like happy accidents that then tie the story so tight in a beautiful way.
Well, John Knoll has watched Star Wars so many times, he's like, what's that empty chair about? I should write a story.
It just bums me out, because I'm like, that means Krennic could have been there in that scene. Like, I know it's impossible, but like, imagine Ben Mendelsohn in that room, like, yelling at someone. Oh. Vader,
release him. While John Knoll is inventing Photoshop.
Yeah.
Meanwhile...
I you know what? I respect Mahdi, though. I respect Mahdi as a guy who's just like, my god is technology, and this giant ventilator here doesn't scare me. And then just mocks Darth Vader.
Yeah, that was ballsy.
One of the best. I remember right here, my first Star Wars celebration was in Indianapolis, and it was run all by volunteers of the 501st. And, you know, they were trying to keep orderly lines. And they'd be like, can everybody get in a single file line? And just every single time, to hide our numbers? And that's when I was like, oh... I'm home. Home. Oh, I love the way Luke says home here.
Home.
Home.
Wait, Luke. It's 2 days. Rebuild's like, we'll just stay here and burn Jawas.
Now
you go. We're just going to burn up some Jawas.
Now, as Obi-Wan manipulates Luke constantly, did Obi-Wan say, well, Luke, let's take the scenic route around and set him up here?
Like, or save him because he's got to deliver the... He's got to deliver the Chosen One.
How long ago? I mean, this still looks like a hot fire. Do you think Obi-Wan was sitting there going like, Owen? I can tell him about the Clone Wars, or we could go save Owen and Beru. But, man, those pricks never, ever, ever shared any of their water with me. So, nope. We're going the Jawa route.
Those skeletons.
I think he definitely didn't do it on purpose, because back then, George definitely did not... I don't think that was his intention, but it's fun to think about that now.
This is it. This is his moment. There it is. Resolve. He goes from sadness to resolve right there.
And those skeletons were edited out of the TV broadcast in Australia. I know, because later on in the 90s when I watched it, I'm like, oh my God, skeletons.
Sam Sweet was showing the Peru action figure.
Oh, yes.
I'm wearing this scene. Very nice.
I've always heard that
there's a speculum on the top of it, by the way.
I've heard
there is.
No, I believe you. I just
and sorry, Jason.
That needle used to say like "Made in the UK."
Yes, and I heard George is diabetic and doesn't like needles, and that's where that came from.
That's great.
Not like needle butt.
How was your drive?
I also love how bouncy it is. Like, they really sold how it hovers. Shocks aren't too good.
My other pop culture love is Seinfeld. And I always love to think that when Luke goes to back to home to find Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen, he pulls in Elaine and stops to get some juji fruits on the way just because he was hungry. And then, like, you know, goes through, goes to In-N-Out, gets a shake, and then he gets there.
In-N-Out right now has the cherry blossom shake, guys. I highly recommend.
Oh.
Or sorry, Shake Shack, not In-N-Out.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know they had that.
Oh, yeah. The shot.
Yeah.
Okay, so that shot is in Death Valley.
Okay, that's Death Valley. That's great.
Also,
the more wretched hive,
this is Tunisia,
of scum and villainy. Boom, boom, shh. Boom, boom, shh.
So that's where the name of the bar came from.
Uh-huh. It is funny watching this and just hearing where all these podcasts and things got their name from, like Blast Points. It's like scum and villainy. All right, now, back to the 90s.
Have you guys seen the Outrider here flying up kind of the upper left?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dash Rendar ship.
Yeah. That was a great game.
Oh, yeah. Shadows of the Empire was so amazing and ambitious. They were so like, good. We're going to do a soundtrack and a video game and a comic and a novel and everything possible except for the thing you want, the movie.
Yeah. Remember Chewbacca? Now he's got a flat top.
Remember Han Solo?
But
he's
in carbonite. The IG-88 stuff in that game was terrifying. Unbelievable.
He was a scary boss. We don't need to see
his identification. These I don't need to see your identification jokes never get old here either.
Move along.
Although, for as much as I get harped on about, like, you don't need to see our identification, I'm allowed to pull out the we don't serve your kind here. So I guess it's tit for tat.
We're super racist. We know. It's all right. Look at the lighting, though.
I know.
The best.
Now, the Jawas in Mandalorian have
red
eyes.
They're not on Tatooine.
Okay, so it's like a different
world. Literally, the Black Series edition calls them off-world Jawas, I believe.
Oh, wild. Did any of you guys play the Decipher CCG game? That came out probably like 95, 96, 97. It was like Magic, but for Star Wars. That is where all of my Star Wars, not all of it, but so much of my Star Wars knowledge came from. Because I was like, oh, that's an Arcona. Oh, Muff Tak. Oh, Dejaz Purr. You know, Night Lily. New guy who was added later.
So is B. Arthur in back cleaning glasses?
Oh, man, that would have been amazing.
I think B. Arthur's kind of like, I think it's like a reverse Cheers. Like, I think...
She owns the place.
Well, I think she sold it. Like, Christy Alley bought it from Sam Malone. I think this is the opposite. I think, like, Wurr and Chalmun teamed up and bought it from B. Arthur.
Stylings of Figram Day. So, on the day he was playing In the Mood by Tommy Dorsey.
Well, here's a question. What if George took out this song like he did in the end of Jedi with Yup and Up?
This song was too much of a hit. I don't think he would have replaced it.
But like, say he felt like it because it wasn't his vision anymore. You know what I mean?
I think he loved what John did in this scene.
I wonder why he didn't like The End of Jedi. The
Or
there's
Lasty
the
IG-88
helmets or heads.
Oh yeah.
Behind the bar there.
I find the songs in Jedi getting taken out like my most hurtful special edition.
Yes, me too.
Lopty neck.
I can't talk. I'm going to just cut the Jedi rocks right there. I can't do it. Well, and it's like, I get that he's a CG Muppet, but like, why do I have to see the spit hanging from his uvula? Just because you can doesn't do something doesn't mean you should.
I like the fact that this guy has a doctorate. I don't like you either. You better watch yourself. I wanted men. I have the death sentence on for botched surgery.
You'll be dead. Did you like when they showed up in Rogue One, or was it too on the nose?
I didn't like it. It goes to what Jen was saying about it makes the universe too small.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but I enjoyed your pun of calling that too on the nose. Given his face.
So do you realize how badass this moment is in such a declaration of independence when Jedi are being hunted in a public port city? He takes a freaking lightsaber out. Like, holy, like, it blows my mind. And then the information would go out from there that there's a Jedi on Tatooine. I love it.
I don't like the look of this.
Isn't this glaring to you, that moment? Because it's new?
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah. Of course. But now, like, thinking of it in context of the hall, the fact that he chose to do that so publicly, knowing they're sort of nearing the end game, it was it was a bold move.
Also, do you think off camera in his meditation chamber, Vader's like, he gets the guy pops up and he's like, the Jedi's been spotted on Tatooine. And like, do you think the tumblers click together and the droids, the princess, Jimmy Smith's, oh, they're going at Obi-Wan's been on my home planet this whole time?
Talk
about
that.
Adding insult to injury. He hid, like, he wasn't just trying to hide Luke. If he was trying to hide Luke, he was doing it on Dagobah. He wanted Vader to feel insulted by it.
Uh-huh. I love
it. He's spiteful and manipulative.
Should we change his name? Nah.
No. Well, if you think about how much pain Tatooine represents to Anakin, where his mother died and all of that, it's like, he would never want to go back there in a million years.
You say that, but then in the comics, he went and had a meeting with Jabba the Hutt.
I know.
Which I was always like, oh. I love that.
Also,
I love that he
Sam
never wanted
too
to go back there. But who's going to fly it,
kid? You bet I love Harrison's turn here when he's talking to them, and then he turns all sort of all excited and giddy to Chewie. This will really save our bacon. He goes from being like, I'm a scoundrel and all saucy.
He was so young.
He's not showing his hand at all.
Docking Bay 94.
So as a kid, I was a Han kid, and it could have been as simple as, like, I was 8 years old with brown hair. He's got brown hair, me too. So, like, I connected more with Han than I ever did with Luke.
That's interesting. Sam Witwer has a theory that he goes, everybody... kind of building off what you said, everybody thinks that they are Han, but in reality, everybody's Luke because we're freaking nerds. Han is like your older brother that you wish you were. I was always so shy and like not cool that I was like, oh my God, Luke has a lightsaber. If I had a lightsaber, I could use the Force.
I should have brought my DL 44. It's in the house.
Do you have the Master Replicas one?
I have Todd's Costumes one.
Ah.
I'll have, like, let me reach somebody in the house or have her bring it up.
We have to give this moment its due.
Don't have it with me. Tell Jabba. And the head move.
Do it, George.
We're going to watch it in silent and just cheer. Do you think I had a choice? Jabba. Oh. Over my dead body.
I just love that he did this 4K edit before he sold it and just left this little time bomb to go off once technology caught up with the format. It's like, Star Wars, it's got so many, like all the special edition stuff, it's got so much weirdness about it, and he just left this little, just like it reminds me of how Sheev, after he died in the canon, you know, sent things to blow up Naboo and stuff. I felt like George just left this little, just like, you guys have been arguing about these films for so long, like, drop, here you go. Like, don't take it so seriously. Like,
Oh, well, that's a surefire way to fool some stormtroopers. Lock the door, because what could ever be behind them?
Well, sand people, too, apparently.
Oh, this one's locked. Move along.
Couldn't be in there.
I think they make a joke about that in Rise of Skywalker, don't they? When they're on Kijimi, like, there's one where they go up to a locked door, or they just keep pounding and pounding and pounding.
I don't remember. Watch your language.
Look at that R2-D, or C-3PO gaslighting R2 there.
Oh, there's that horrifying droid again.
Oh, yeah. I think it's CZ-3
yes.
is the name of the droid.
Well, I'm just glad he got bought.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing well.
He's still twitching, though. So, and the soundtrack, or I had the story of Star Wars as a kid.
And, oh, yeah.
And I would listen to it, and they would include the moment of the spy. And it would just be this random thing with no explanation. You would just hear this. I'm like, what's happening? Because you couldn't rewatch the movie because it wasn't around.
How do you feel about this scene?
I'm not a fan.
I love that I have the opportunity to see it because I always heard the rumor about it and saw the whatever in From Star Wars to Jedi.
Yeah.
But I also, like, do all Rodians wear brown leather jackets and, like, green tracksuits? It's just that.
Yeah. Isn't now it was an actress that played Greedo, yeah?
It was
it was both.
Yeah, both, yeah. Look, depending what country they were filming in. Sometimes.
You think I have a choice? How to do that some way, and that's the way he fixed it.
And it also is weird here. Like, there's a weird shading behind Han's hand. I wish he would have gone back and put Return of the Jedi Jabba in. Like, no toy and no CG version of Jabba Hutt has even come close to what the original was and what the puppet was.
Yeah.
I just find this really reductive as to the character. Because what's so beautiful about not seeing him till Jedi is he's built up so much. You talk about him and you talk about him. And then when you finally meet him in Jedi and he's just this Caesar on this throne, mm-hmm. and it's terrifying. But to see him sort of be pushed around a little bit by Han and him out in the open, it just reduces the fear of him.
I hate it. I hate it in context of story. I also don't like the Boba Fett there. That to me is one of the, like,
I was going to say, that's everything. I mean, it's huge.
That is as egregious. Wait, watch R2-D2 go down the steps there. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
How he, like, Kenny Baker, like, has to carry him.
I also like the reference in Force Awakens that the first time you see it, you see the Falcon again, it's garbage. So it's a piece of junk here, and it's garbage. Garbage will do.
Hello, sir.
There's the dice, which you only see the dice in two shots. And then they like made a movie about, like, two movies or three movies about Han's dice.
Oh.
Like that little piece of pop culture. They're just like, you know what matters more than anything? These babies.
I don't have them over on a shelf over there or anything.
I know, they're not hanging behind the bar. But.
They're sitting on my Sabacc deck.
So can I ask, because you're a role-playing guy, did you play West End Games role-playing?
Just D&D. Gamma World and Top Secret.
Okay. I didn't play the role-playing, but they had a Sabacc rules and deck in Cloud City expansion pack for West End Games. And so in college, because I was super cool, my roommate and I made a deck of cards and we'd sit there and we'd play. And then when the new ones came out, when Solo came out, they're like, that doesn't count anymore. And all of a sudden, I understood why the people who loved the Star Wars EU so much were so upset that they changed it.
Well, if they had to change it if you wanted Chewbacca in Force Awakens.
I mean, I'm happy that they changed it. I think it got... I actually talked to Timothy Zahn at a Comic-Con one point, and I asked him... I asked a question in a panel, and I was like, how do you write in the Star Wars universe? I feel like there's been a movie or a book or a comic book about, like, every day of Luke's life from the time he was born. And he goes, well, I said all my stories before or after. And that was kind of the thing where you're like, oh, one of your greatest authors is just like, you can't write in this timeline anymore with these characters. It's just been, it's like a minefield.
First time.
It ain't like Dustin Crops. Whenever I go to Galaxy's Edge, I always make sure that I'm the co-pilot so I can jump us to hyperspace.
100%. How was it the first time you pulled that lever?
I didn't cry. What? Shut up.
I was weak. Like, I almost couldn't do it. I thank God I was sitting down.
I was wearing slippers in this scene, by the way. Talking. Yeah.
I was embarrassed. I was like, that shouldn't have felt so good. Like, I was like, I just cut too much. Like, I should have, like, priorities in life and save those feelings for something that I've actually done or achieved.
Like, birth of a child.
Yeah.
It steals,
well,
like...
I can tell you this, I haven't been yet.
What?
You haven't been?
All right. Well, if the world ever comes back...
Hey, I was in the middle of a divorce. I'm busy gardening. I've got lasagnas to bake. You know, I just didn't get a chance. Every other excuse.
Well, at least they haven't closed Disneyland, so...
Yeah, that's going to have to be my first thing when it opens.
We should take a field trip. Actually, that's what we should do. We should live stream the four of our trips to Galaxy's Edge so that you can see Galaxy's Edge.
I like that plan. Then name the
system. That's me.
Is Leia acting here, or is she hamming it up for Tarkin, or is she really scared?
She's terrified. She's terrified.
See Lord Vader, she can be. And again, that was so confusing when I was little. It sounded so much like the other planet. What? Far too trusty.
Dantooine is too remote. Can I tell you guys a secret that I shouldn't say out loud? I can't say it. We're going to do something really cool with the bar that plays into the idea of Dantooine. Whenever. We should have been doing it actually in June, but I don't think we're going to be open in June, so it's going to get pushed off. Whatever, people are watching the live. I'll drop it. Has to do with geeky TVs.
Ooh.
Fan of the shockwave and the debris, or no?
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't mind most of the updates, and one of them I stunningly love towards the end of the film, but
I now kind of want that guitar string from Attack of the Clones when things blow up in space, because that was one of the best sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I also like that Han has a bowl of cereal right there.
Oh, yeah.
He literally does?
Yeah. He's got his breakfast going on.
Hey,
no.
Jen, the thing about Galaxy's Edge is the best is... when I watch this scene now, I'm like, oh, yeah, I sat there. Like, it looks
I sat there.
That's right. The best part of the ride, by the way, is the walk through the Falcon. And they geniusly lit it so that whatever selfie you take looks like this.
Ah. You guys, I'm so happy you said that, because pulling the lever was awesome. Steering the ship was awesome. But being completely encompassed by this room, Han's man cave hangout room, was like debilitating. It was
worth the price of admission.
And I've seen fan built ones that are like three walls and you walk through the fourth wall, but to have it 360 degrees was, I was like, oh, well, I have to put one of these at my house now, or what is life?
See, there's a cereal.
Oh my God. Well, it's funny. I don't know what happened. I just didn't either go with a group or I couldn't go to one. And it just kind of, time just kind of went. And it's such a shame now I can't. But it'll open up again. It will open up again.
They art directed the entrance to that so that you're seeing that shot.
Oh.
So when you enter the Falcon, it's that point of view of you see the holotable there, you see the nav computer there.
It's
genius.
So, I don't know. We may have missed it. I think it's coming up. The when they show you the shot of C-3PO with his safety belt on, The way that they made the seatbelt look futuristic is they wrapped it in bubble wrap. It's just a bubble wrap seatbelt. And this is also, this is just a Rebel Pilot helmet with like a piece of plastic put in front.
Okay. What is the practical use for a blast shield where you can't see?
I think it's just dirty.
Dirty.
Really?
It
that looks solid.
You think if it was a blast shield in the future, it would have like some sort of, you could still see through it a little bit.
Like transition lenses.
I want to know what the practical use is for this helmet.
In my headcanon, it's like welding goggles.
Yeah, but then you can't see it. You can't see through.
Also, Han uses welding goggles later in the trilogy, so that makes no sense.
It just occurred to me, the only thing it could be used for is if there's a lot of turbulence and you're trying to get some sleep.
We also gloss over the fact that Obi-Wan uses the word suddenly twice in his sentence.
Oh, yeah, it's weird.
Suddenly dried up and suddenly silenced. They found the remains of which part was sudden?
Is this... this is the scene, right, where Vader gestures wildly.
Check the bottom of the seats. They got the wheels.
Yes.
Just like an office chair.
It's so dark, I can barely see it.
So I think this is
the
it.
The Empire is cheap.
Watch Darth Vader here.
No, they cut. That must have been a different scene.
Yeah. I always thought that was the coolest view of hyperspace, too. She's like, how did they do that?
The Doctor Who tunnel?
Yeah.
How did I literally was just like, this is the greatest special effect of all time.
No, like, no spoilers, but the depiction of hyperspace in that Clone Wars episode was so good. By the Empire. Oh my god.
Dude.
I love that they fly through the, three asteroid triangle like four times here.
Did you get my text?
And then they also put that in the Star Fox game for Nintendo 64.
Sure is leaving in a big hurry. If they identify us, we're in big trouble.
Not if I can help it.
We're in big trouble.
It'd be as well to let it go. It's too far out of range.
You can write this shit, but we can't say it.
Well, that's
I was just gonna say, I love how just like, I got the fastest ship, even if it's impractical. We're going to do this so I can prove it to you.
The cool thing about Luke Skywalker for me was always that he reacted to things the way I would. Like, if when the light beeped and he's like, what's that? It's like, yeah, that's what I would have done. Like, I would have been looking over going, oh, space travel, yes. What's going on?
Yeah, he's never been interstellar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also like the fact that Rey and Luke are kind of the inverse. All he ever wanted to do was get off Tatooine, and all she ever wants to do is stay on Jakku.
Well, that's kind of
because
cool.
She's waiting for people to come back.
There's got
to
be something you can do.
Nothing I can do about it, kid. I'm full power. I'm gonna have to shut down.
This scene, I just now think of all these tired, sweaty Englishmen shaking the
at Pinewood, or was it L Street?
I think this was Pinewood. I think they moved to Elstree and Empire because Stanley Kubrick burned down.
They were in Elstree in 77. Have you seen the documentary?
Oh, I haven't, but I had heard about it.
Where is it? Uh-oh.
Oh, it's a documentary, Elstree 96, baby.
Oh.
There it is.
God, it's so ugly. A lie.
And it's the A New Hope version as well.
Yes. With battle damage.
Nice.
And it's capped because it's made from a Mauser frame.
It looks heavy. I don't know.
It is heavy.
Okay.
Now, everybody used to think that stormtroopers and Darth Vader were like robots, but doesn't it, like, did it tip you off that they might not be when Han and Luke put on the costumes?
I just, I was age. I just thought they gutted the robot stuff and put on the outside. I mean, there's so many reasons I shouldn't have believed that. They just looked like robots to me. I wasn't given any other reason that they weren't. There's no one on
board, sir. The, I'm, quite fond of doing Star Wars trivia, and we have some of that going on later tonight. But I've gotten so deep into Star Wars that I started listening to what the announcers were saying on the Death Star PA system and trying to figure that out. Like, who's 316? Why do you have to report to control 316?
Oh man, you need what that did battery you do? Open.
I'm very worried for you.
Hey, I'm not into all, like when you talk about the different versions for the different movies, I never noticed that sort of stuff, or the Imperial badges. And I know people know what they mean, but did they mean something? Like, did people sort of backdate what?
No, I think rank is shown on the different officers.
Yeah, but did someone sort of work it out, or was it like, did they sort of like retcon what all the dots meant, or did they actually put thought in who had what dots when they were making the movie?
My guess is the art department probably put forth who had what dots.
Ah, okay.
I don't think so. I think it was kind of random, and then West End Games tried to make sense of it with Pablo Hidalgo, and then they made more movies, and it was just like...
So you don't think the lower-ranking officers have different dots than, say, Tarkin would?
Well, I think it was like the Grand Moff, or this means general, or this means this, but then later on, like Nita has the wrong badge for being a captain or something. So I think they screwed it up. And then there's been, you know, stories written about it.
What's up with that?
I love this room.
Look at that shot. I was going to say, see, you guys notice all those details. For me, I'm looking, their DP is like,
oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm all about the look.
Oh, it's
makes me so happy. This room is fantastic.
It's fantastic.
I can't remember this guy's name, but he was Australian. And he actually appeared in like a few fan films, like recreating his character, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's and he's got like a big scar on his face from getting hit by the Wookiee.
My favorite line in all of Star Wars is in this scene, and that's what I had put on my tattoo. Bring him on. I prefer a straight
fight to all this sneaking around. Hey. We found the computer. Are we going to guess?
Oh,
you've told me what it is, so
yeah,
I'm not
I'll point it out when it gets. It's coming up.
So
I like what it means out of context, but I also like it in context.
So apparently, here R2-D2 is downloading the records of the entire universe. So if you guys are looking for Octo, R2 is getting it right now.
That's a stiff drink you pour in there, JC.
Whatever you say. It's almost not as much the DP, actually. It's really more the lighting and the shots. Like Raiders. I mean, that's like, you know what I mean? There's a difference. But I just love the look because it's so 70s. And it's so cool.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I used to love wearing turtlenecks when I was a kid. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I still love wearing turtlenecks. And I honestly think it's because of this right here. Like, look at how badass they look with like that. I was like, this gave me a turtleneck obsession to this day.
I love turtlenecks. I'm sort of mock neck there, but yeah.
I prefer a straight up fight, though. Just make it away.
Is that your tattoo?
No.
Also, look how similar their hair is from behind.
Oh, I know.
Like,
it was the cut. I also love how like SoCal they all felt.
Yeah.
Like they just came back from surfing.
Yeah.
That morning, yeah.
And even Leia, because she's, you know, from SoCal.
Level 5.
Look at how much they had to dirty up 3PO so that the camera wouldn't reflect off of him.
Yeah, I was going to say he looks filthy, but I love that. It was just conveniently perfect for what I like. But
here it comes. That's not it. Executor. Look, a few minutes ago, you said you didn't want to just wait here to be captured. Now all you want to do is stay? Marching into the detention area is not what I had in mind. But they're going to kill her. Better her than me. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's a big idea.
and if you would rescue her, the reward would be...
What?
Everybody's just
there
waiting.
It comes.
I don't know. I can imagine.
That one.
Yes, that's awesome.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
That's sick. I was like fast forwarding through the dialogue,
yep.
And I was
yep.
like,
because I like the fact that it declares ignorance about anything, and then it says, "But I can make it up."
I'm gonna put these on you.
This is the only part where Chewie's really scary.
I love this just because it's just a great sci-fi plan. We'll pretend he's a prisoner.
It's a heist plan.
Yeah, it's sick.
These guys are scoundrels. They're doing subterfuge, disguises. It's so good.
Well, I say it's a sci-fi plan because I didn't have any context before seeing this for the first
fair
time.
Fair enough, fair enough.
So
yeah.
It's like, it's a Star Wars thing.
I love that whole name to saying that.
When C-3PO is on Tatooine, he's like, lock the door, R2. But when Han's like, C-3PO is like, what are we going to do? And they're like, lock the door. He's like, that's not very reassuring. It worked before.
Yeah, we
use
all
your
know,
logic.
Stormtroopers will not go through a locked door. just checked out that droid. like that droid was walking away, and he kind of like, no, you look just as good walking away as you did walking through.
This is one of my favorite jokes in the whole movie that, again, I almost never, it took years for me to pick up. Like, watch how the dude who tries to get in the elevator with them. Oh yeah, you don't want to be, he smells, wet dog. And then this is my favorite joke though, where it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I can't see a thing in this helmet. That's not it. The best part is, watch, Vader senses Obi-Wan Kenobi. And,
this is not gonna work.
And then we've got, here we go. This is it. I love this. They're facing the wrong way when the door opens. Like, George is trying to make them be stupid, and then they come out.
I do that at LAX all the time.
Where are you taking this thing? Prisoner transfer from cell block 1138.
Oh, he's so smug. Oh, that's amazing.
1138.
I love the 70s lights over the elevator. It's very, like, cabaret.
Yeah.
Great blink.
If you guys could just have, like, a Star Wars production design, house, that's where you dwell, which dwelling would you pick? Like, the Imperial aesthetic, the Tatooine, the...
I would put the Falcon.
I would go with Naboo. Because then my wife would appreciate that the most. Like, yeah, nice sort of...
like the lake house?
Yeah, we could live well.
Yeah, with Paulo. He'd be your neighbor.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't like sand. It's gritty.
Right, that's a little...
It gets everywhere. No, I just love how lived in the Falcon is. It just looks comfy.
Everything's under control.
There's a game area.
I'm trying to fit
some beds.
Trying to work out what planet that Jen, right that the fine, your brick aesthetic would fit in. Now. That could be Tatooine. You could be living well in a nice area of Tatooine.
Yeah, my house is
fine. How are you? Thank you. How are you?
It's got a lot of arches out front, and it's got that stucco, and it looks very Tatooine out there. Yeah.
I actually love the houses in LA. A lot of them have got that the Tatooine curvature, and it's. Yep.
And not to cross the streams, and I have not been to Jen's house, but the rumor is you can see Hogwarts from your backyard.
That is true. Just
that's a little short for a stormtrooper.
Oh, the uniform.
He is.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here to rescue you. I've got your R2 unit. I'm here with Kenobi.
Ben Kenobi, where is he?
Come on.
What a hero.
Rescue you.
I love that he's such the hero, and then like two scenes later she's like, oh my gosh, Tweedledee and Tweedledum on top of being tortured.
I would have liked it if she had said, who's Ben Kenobi?
Mm-hmm.
Because But she only knows him as Obi-Wan.
Ah. I guess she heard Kenobi, and that was enough for her.
I guess. Is he a relative?
The princess?
Look how many squares Tarkin's got.
Obi-Wan. Full house. That's some Grand Moff squares.
That's your new restaurant. Bar. Grand Moff squares.
Alone.
That's so good.
So good. This is...
Like, did they lock the door on the elevator, or...
JC, you are obsessed with locked doors.
Well, I'm just trying to understand why they blew a hole in the door in their own ship. Nobody had the key? Like, they could... Hey, this is TK-888 calling down to the locks, Death Star locksmith.
They must have locked it.
Or is it just like watching an HGTV show where they just wanted to do the demo?
The demo.
So, if you listen to Joseph Campbell, them going into this trash chute here is like Jonah and the Whale, the Belly of the Beast. Also, how awesome is the comm link that C-3PO holds? Like, it's just such a cool little prop. That's like so useless and throwaway, but like iconic.
Going back to what you were saying about Joseph Campbell, there's something fascinating about like when you get to like the inmost cave and they reveal their feelings and you reveal a truth or a fear. It's always an organic environment. So they're in this metal thing, but now they're in water.
And a creature and an organic creature there as well.
Exactly. So like on Dagobah, it's the cave that Luke goes in, and it's the worm that Han and they go in. And so they often will expose something about themselves truthful. This is the scene that forges their friendship because they face death together and they look for each other. They're worried about each other and reveal. And Chewie shows fear for the first time.
And Leia has just met them, but yet still.
Yeah. Into the garbage chute, flyboy.
All right. So Dire Nogah, put there by the Empire as to eat the trash, or somehow got flashed in there.
Where do they go? Where does the Dire Nogah go?
I mean, maybe there's like a tube. Maybe they're like cockroaches, and they can like. They've got malleable bones, then they can, like, tube themselves into the next trash compactor.
And as I think it was Kyle Katarn found out they had huge under
trunks
and flippers.
It's worse. There's something alive in here.
That's your imagination.
This also, the Dire Nogah, and they made it... This is the one thing they actually made scarier in the special edition.
Actually, there is a bit of... it's poetry, it rhymes, involving Jen in this, in that when you played that Dark Forces video game, the Dire Nogah had this whole body that you didn't know about, and in that Force Awakens, Forces of Destiny, the little nightworm thing, you find out he's, like, that's just the top.
That's the top, yeah.
Which I always thought that was a cool little, like, oh, just, like, that was, like, a similar little surprise.
Yeah, that was... Oh, good.
I'm gonna be back in 2 seconds. I'm gonna start getting them set up for the next prequel panel. But give me.
Oh, you guys are good.
Oh, they got it. All right, never mind.
I'm already here, so that worked out.
Crew's on top of it. Oh yeah, I think you're actually gonna have to dial into the other computer.
I probably will. It'll give me a minute to have a break.
So for the 40th, the artist Jock. You know Jock. He does a lot of comic book art. He did a really great print. It's in my nerd lair of this scene. When you have a chance, look it up. It's gorgeous. And it says a long time ago, Galaxy Far, Far Away. And it's this impressionistic drawing of this scene. It's fantastic.
What happened?
I don't know.
Let go of me. It disappeared.
Let me go.
Do you think they just thought he was dead? Like, did they just give up on him? What was that?
They had a good run.
But
that music.
I love the headcanon of, like, the Dire Nogah
knew what that sound meant.
Yes, it did. I don't think that's headcanon. I've always thought that that's why it took off.
Yeah. It knows, it, like, this is routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he says, I don't know, it just let me go.
And
there's
that
beam that's in The Mandalorian. It's like a really popular shape of metal, apparently.
I always thought, you know how Marvel Comics does, like, their what-ifs?
Yeah.
What if Spider-Man and Wolverine, whatever? I always thought it would be fun to do a Star Wars what-if. And, like, as, like, a little kid, I was like,
Head bump. Yes.
What if, God. So.
Yes!
You know that.
I think Todd's, like, about 5 seconds behind my screening.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
You know that the guy who bumps his head had a feature-length documentary done about him?
No, but there's debate about who it is. Everyone's like, I'm the head-bumping strawberry. No, that was me.
But we had him on earlier. He talked to Greg Grunberg.
Grunberg, yeah.
And he played a clip of the documentary, and it's like a 48 hours investigation. Like, it is so serious that you don't know if he's serious or like mocking it or insane. Like, it's phenomenal.
I tried to resync up. What's happening right now for you guys?
Han's got the beam.
Now it's just pushing.
Yes. Yeah, climbing.
All right, then I'm probably a little too. I tried to jump ahead too far.
Doing that. Well, yeah.
I've got R2 already plugging in.
C-3PO. R2's plugging in now. On
okay, I'm slightly behind you. Ahead of you. I'm slightly ahead of you. One thing's for sure. But by, like, 2 seconds, not even.
Okay.
How's that how the little button to show that he's uploading, just this cube comes out as, like, a download signal?
So if there was... this is a fun little thing. In Attack of the Clones... When Jango Fett is getting on the ship, he also bumps his head.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. Was that still a clone? Is that a leftover clone?
It's an old one. That's why he's banging his head, I imagine. They just have terrible depth perception.
Imagine if that was your family trait. That you just kept ramming and stuff. You, if you ever go on the TMZ tour in LA, they show Kanye doing that, and they go past where he is walking along in front of all this paparazzi. And he hits his head on a low-hanging sign, and they go past the sign. It's a great bit of tourism.
Where do you live, Steve?
In LA.
Okay.
Yeah, originally in Melbourne, in Australia, but now I'm sweating it off with everyone else.
You're a local man, yeah.
Yeah.
What part of LA?
Just near Fairfax High.
Perfect.
I always remember when I was a kid and I used to watch the movie, and then when I got older, I always thought this scene was drawn out more. Like, like C-3PO chastising himself. I always felt like it was, like, way more drawn out. And then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, it's not that drawn out. Oh, I lost my light.
Dude, if I worked on the Death Star, I would not be volunteering to check the tractor beam levels. That is, get some guardrails, people.
This deactivating the tractor beam here is hands down one of my favorite sound effects in Star Wars.
So good.
The other one is this sound that a speeder bike makes when it banks.
Mine is, I love the pod racer,
Sebulba's pod.
Come here, you big coward. Chewie, come here. I love that moment. I don't know
who you are or where you. What about you, Jen? What's your favorite noise? You do
as I do. I was gonna say.
Hamill insisted on his hair being wet. Sorry.
He really?
Yeah, and then he's like, "Shouldn't all our hair be wet?" And that's when Harrison Ford goes, "Not that kind of picture, kid."
That's okay. I just remember the documentary of the, when they were doing the sound effects back when, I think, or either that, yeah, no, it was. And it was the banging on the fence sound.
Oh, yeah. The tension wires.
Huh?
So when I was working on a project, we went to sit down with Ben Burt and Matt Wood at Skywalker Sound. And a couple things. Ben Burt walked over to a keyboard and he turned it on. And he goes, here's R2. And he just starts hitting the keyboard for a lot of the different bleep bleeps. Then he goes into a cabinet and he opens it up and he takes out the respirator, the scuba respirator. That's the click of Vader's. And so he shows that to me. And then he takes out his original copy of the script that Lucas gave him to point out what are potential sound cues. And I'm just.
So when Todd was busy living your childhood fantasy.
Oh my God.
The going back a little bit, the two stormtroopers were like, you know, did you hear about the VT-16?
That's quite a thing to see.
I love in Force Awakens, that's David Collins and Sam Witwer are those two stormtroopers talking about the VT-32.
So good.
Ben also, if I remember, I think, didn't Ben do Star Forces of Destiny?
I don't know.
I think he did.
Well, my guess is if he designed any of the sound effects that were used in it.
And I think that's what it was.
He would still get credit.
Which is really cool.
It's great.
Oh, man.
That's so pretty.
This scene was the scene that cemented for me that the one thing I needed to survive is a grappling hook.
Well, this is the Errol Flynn of it all.
Yeah.
I would love to see how badly the stormtroopers would use it.
Yeah. Maybe they're
like. I also love that they added her echo of her voice. Well, that was the Wilhelm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When was the Wilhelm first used? Was it this?
It might have been in this movie, yeah.
Might have been.
It's a Ben Burt kind of callback. It's also, you know, I talked with Leonard Maltin earlier about kind of the idea that anytime a big movie comes out, is this the next Star Wars and how there'll never be a next Star Wars? And it's amazing, even the little things that came from this, like the Wilhelm scream or 1138 pervading every number that's used in cinema now. And that all, I mean, Wilhelm was all Ben, but 1138 is like George's address or something, you know, it's insane.
And this is where he just turns okay. I'm a little,
Yeah, I think I just got off a little bit because I said something that my iPad thought was voice.
So the blast doors just closed. That's what happened for me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my Han just jumped through.
Okay. And this is where he turns the reflector tape.
So oh
it looks
yeah.
like it's rising out, but yes. It's not. So genius.
Oh, this is so.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the fan film where they recut this and it's insane?
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I have. I love it. I never want them to do anything like that to this. But to
I agree.
See, to see their creativity in like a modern version was.
Well, the tribute to old masters fighting that they did in Rebels with Maul and Obi-Wan. Of like guys that are that good don't need to be flipping around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much simpler, less expensive energy fight.
Throwing a bit of shade to Yoda there, huh?
A bit.
Yeah, I feel like the one person on Earth, in at least in my circles, who was just like, man, I loved the like Star Wars Legends stuff, where it's like. Jedi Masters don't use lightsabers since they don't need to. The same way Obi-Wan Kenobi finds blasters when he's civilized.
I would like to see Yoda just sort of sit back and control the saber
mm-hmm.
with his mind while he's like nibbling on his Geimer stick.
Just leave this party.
What
Ren is some old friends.
Yeah, Ren is some old friends.
Is the ship all right?
Seems okay.
There's, gosh, I bet they cleaned it up. There's the one shot in this scene where he, like, gets the angle wrong to the camera, and you can kind of see the sparkly paper, whatever, on the lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was cool. I was like, oh my God, that's what, that is the key to building a real life lightsaber.
We missed one of my favorite jokes, which was when she goes, you came here on that thing, you're braver than I thought.
Right.
Like every time somebody looks at the Falcon, they just mock it.
Poor Falcon, man. It just gets,
and saves their bacon every time.
Is there another ship in, or I guess another vehicle in movies?
The Enterprise.
Which one?
Well, I mean, like, I would say, like, the original Enterprise, the iconic one, was emblazoned on people's minds.
But is it, I guess, Millennium Falcon is a character. Is there another vehicle that's a character, like Kit from Knight Rider? But that's not even close.
When you see the Enterprise blow up in one of the Trek films, it's heart wrenching. Real short trip. Okay, hit it. It's gonna be a real short trip.
I always thought that reverse out and turn.
Oh, I know. He's backing it out of the drive.
And he does what I do, which is I don't look behind me when I back up.
No, he doesn't need to. Well, he's got the screen that has a reverse camera.
One of my cars has the like sonar that beeps, and then my other car does not. And I always am worried I'm going to back up into something.
This scene, she's comforting him.
Yeah.
I really miss the guy I met 2 days ago. She's like, yeah, my whole planet blew up.
And my dad.
Yeah, I feel bad. Feel real bad for you for the guy that you met 2 days ago.
She's so empathetic.
It might even have been 2 days. Like this all seems like the same day. Depending how long it took to go to Alderaan.
My least favorite thing about Star Wars is thinking about how long things took.
We were having a conversation with Pablo, and he goes, "Yeah, ships travel at the speed of plot."
Yeah.
How far is a plot? How many parsecs is a plot?
It's like in the new films, whenever they mention like hours and stuff, it's like,
And the we have to refuel, like, really?
I don't mind fuel, but time is like, it's like, you know, makes it like an episode of 24 or something.
It's also like, what's time? Like, our time is because, like, is it all based on Coruscant's pattern, you know? Like, when time's relative, so like, Tatooine people have 45 seconds.
Is there a different gravity in the bottom gunner so that all the blood isn't rushing to Luke's face?
That's a good question.
It would happen.
Because he's facing down.
Yeah, that's weird.
Don't worry. You're all together.
Hear me, baby? Hold together.
Also, like, in the quiet time after they go to make the jump to light speed, Luke has, he can bullseye Womp Rats in his T-16, but these are sophisticated guns. Do you think he's like it's a video game for him? Like, huh, can we go out and shoot asteroids sometimes?
I feel like there's more force going on here for him than is seen, but that's my headcanon.
Great kid, don't get cocky.
Talk about scenes in the middle. I think it was Force Awakens when, before they go to Maz Kanata's, I did a short where the alluvial
alluvial dampeners don't work.
Yeah.
And Luke is like, I've killed so many people today. I was a moisture farmer and now I've just murdered so many people.
Those Womp Rats came in handy, let me tell you. She hugs Chewie. That's so great.
Sweaty. We did it!
Huzzah.
I always picture the storyboard drawing of her hugging Chewie.
Are they away?
They've just made the jump into hyperspace.
You're sure the homing beacon is secure aboard their ship? I'm taking an
awful
risk, Vader. This
better work.
This is also great. Coming up, where Han's like, there's no homing beacon on this ship. How? What makes you so sure? It was sitting in their garage for quite a while.
It was too easy. They're tracking
us. No.
The information R2 is still intact.
What's so important? What's he carrying?
The technical readouts of that battle station. I only hope that when the data's analyzed, a weakness can be found. It's not over yet.
It is for me.
Well, he keeps calling her sister.
I know. Sweetheart, sister. It's like a 30 screwball comedy.
I'm doing a Lost rewatch at the moment while we're stuck at home, and he's just like Sawyer. Owes so much to Han Solo.
Yes. Absolutely.
And also, like, so charismatic that when Sawyer's, like, teaming up with everyone to do what's right, you're like, yes, he's with us now. It's like, you know, when Han sort of sees the light and comes back, it's just like the cool guy in town, like, he's got my back. It's so cool.
Good. Competitive.
Oh, this is great. I love this.
Little does he know yet. Little does he know.
You think we could give birth to the most evil thing in the galaxy again?
It really is, like, miraculous how well this movie worked. Like, by all rights, this should not this should not exist in this way. This should this should have been like a kind of like fun movie that, like, you know, like more like Evil Dead, you know, like this. It's just too
Buck Rogers.
Yeah, it's
like the Flash Gordon movie or...
But he you know, it's that grounding things enough in the familiar so that things didn't look spacey. They looked like he borrowed shapes and lines and the quarry's lines, borrowed from so many things that were comfortable looking at that it never looked otherworldly. So, like, you'll see a crazy alien, but he's in, like, an astronaut suit. And I think it lent itself to us relating to it and feeling a sense of in good hands.
I also know that, I don't know, John Williams, I think, made a difference.
Yeah, this is a three-hander. Yeah. It's Williams, Williams, Macquarie, and Lucas. Right. Like, that trinity of artists.
And Joseph Campbell's influence on the story.
100%.
So, that combo.
These haircuts. These haircuts are designed around a direct, large-scale assault.
A small, one-man fighter. And that's Ewan McGregor's uncle? Sitting next to Luke.
That Dennis Lawson is that, but the character of Wedge, like, another guy is Wedge in this scene, or like because of the novel or something. I don't know. It's...
Oh, Dennis Lawson is Ewan McGregor's uncle?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Dennis guy that talks was like said Wedge's line, or there's some weird thing that in the novel it was confusing or something.
Okay.
Google fake Wedge. Go down that wormhole. And also, because we talked about it earlier, Google the theatrical version of Lapty Neck, the version that's in the movie versus the version that's on the side.
Oh, it's just nonsense.
Wild.
So, I have a question for you guys. The fact that they retconned all of this and made this all intentionally built in by Galen Erso, how does that sit with you guys?
Once again, the whole small, the universe is really small. But then again, I was prone to that when I was doing Forces of Destiny. I wanted to make things so tiny, and I remember they're like, "Well, that's a little creepy if she knew that and he knew." And so when you're in it, you tend to want to connect the things. I'm just saying, because I've been there. But then being out of it, you shouldn't connect it that deep.
And I love the idea in Rogue One of the crack team looking for the Death Star plans. But the fact that the chink in the armor was intentional, as opposed to deduced by the rebels, they found a chink in the armor.
Right.
I prefer that.
I see it both ways. Like, there's something awesome about a man put in a position, you know, a rock in a hard place, who dedicates his life to giving the heroes the one chance. I think there's something really cool about that. But there's also, I mean,
the convenience can go either way. It could be convenient that he happened to do that. It could be convenient they happen to find it.
No, I like that. I mean, like the dragon missing his scale. I think that is maximizing a tiny deficit. If the deficit, that would be like the dragon intentionally pulling its own scale out. That's what I didn't necessarily did. I like the fact that they found the one weakness that the hubris of the Empire didn't know was there, because they just didn't pay attention, and then these guys exploited it as opposed to a guy intentionally building it into it.
I will say this, is if I didn't like Rogue One, I'd hate it. But because it resulted in a film that I loved, and Krennic and all that stuff.
No, I like Rogue One.
Yeah, because it's like a change where it's like it led to this really cool thing. I'm like, what's wrong? Why am I even going to debate it, sort of thing? Like, I didn't, like, when Darth Maul came back, I didn't like it in the cartoon, but then it led to these awesome, you know, extra stories. So I'm just like, oh, well, that's like, you win this round, Star Wars canon.
Yeah. I was the same way with Darth Maul. I was like, don't bring him back. And then,
Spider-Maul. I have the sideshow Spider-Maul, or the gentle giant.
I love Sam Witwer getting work.
So. Oh, Witwer's great.
I cannot begrudge.
Oh, there it is. Aww.
Yes.
Teddy bear.
And man. Todd, Sam, and I are all from the same, we all hail from the same parts, the same origins.
Midwest,
what do you think?
Boys.
This edition, yes?
This wasn't in the original?
No.
Love that.
I love it.
And actually, if you see the extended cut of that scene, Garvin Dreis, who's Red Leader, talks about flying with his father. And they snipped it.
It's been so long, I don't remember now. Like, that wasn't in there originally. I forgot. I think because maybe the footage was not touched. Meaning that they just put it in, as opposed to there's some flying weird thing that's a special effect. You're like, oh, that's a new scene. But that was that just extra footage?
When did they re-include that scene with special Biggs? Okay, so 97?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I have those on VHS. Jesus, they're still sealed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see what I got.
And, you know, they didn't put back in that Toshi Station stuff that sort of got taken out with that big scene. But putting, like, that's fascinating to watch, but it ruins the, like, the amazing pacing.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed. So here's my Kenner.
Oh.
Got that guy right there.
Pretty.
So good.
It's pretty.
Good design.
Oh, I'll show you guys something that I've got then, that you're...
Please.
So, as I was saying, the thing I want to ask George Lucas the most about is the rock in front of R2-D2, where he got the idea for it. So when I went out to Death Valley, where that scene takes place, I got a rock, which I display in front of my Kenner R2-D2 as a tribute to my most puzzling thing. So there you go. I'm not afraid to steal bits of national parks, allegedly.
You're supposed to take only pictures and leave only footprints.
When they had the trailer for the special edition, and they showed all those X-wings go around.
Oh yeah!
I in the cinema just started bawling uncontrollably, and that was when I was like, oh, I like these films in a very deep way.
Yeah, it's profound.
Well, it's, you know, it's something that I don't think I even really realized until I opened the bar, but the movies aren't, they exist more than movies, not because of what exists on the screen, but because of what we all build with each other. Because of the shared love for it. Right?
Carrie Fisher says Star Wars is a verb. He says family Star Wars together. And that's what we all do.
Right.
Hence why we're all here right now doing this.
This is Red 5. I'm going in.
Why I think A New Hope is my favorite film is after the throne room scene, I don't need more story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's done. It's good. It's done.
I think there's something really amazing about, and look, I love these like 10 season in-depth television shows that just explore characters so well, but I think there's something amazing and incredibly artistic about economy of time, right? You have to make me fall in love, get heartbroken, whatever it is, and you have 120 minutes to do it or you fail. Like, there's no reading Twitter about how people feel and manipulate. It's like you get one shot at this. Kind of like blowing up the Death Star.
So true. So true. It's a one in a million shot.
I always toggle between Return of the Jedi and this movie. I think it's because of Luke. I'm a Luke person, so who Luke becomes in Jedi is just so amazing to me.
When Jedi came out, I was already like dating. So I like it didn't have as big of an effect on me as when I saw A New Hope.
Sure, it's the growth I think for me. I love that.
The scene, you know, we talked about the R2-D2 hologram scene from Last Jedi earlier. I think the best scene in the movie is Luke versus Vader in Return of the Jedi. I think, you know, that's a 5-minute scene that basically is what Star Wars is.
So
just, it's, you know, there, it's just not wasted. It's just that, here's the point of this. Here's why you've watched 6 hours of this right here.
For those of you at home worried, Porkins goes on to get a great job with the government hiding ancient artifacts. And then he becomes a cop in Gotham City. So, you know, he's okay, guys. He's okay.
He had a good run.
Yeah.
Until he meets Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Oh, just the audio treatments to all of the calls.
I always love.
There's Wedge. There he is. His moment in Rise of Skywalker, I wept.
There was a Wedge story I wanted to do, and we never got to do it. It would have been really fun. I would have loved that.
You know, he's Snap Wexley's stepfather.
In canon.
In canon. Yeah, so he's married to Snap's mother.
This dude that rides along without his like chin cap on. Fascinated me.
Do you remember the simplicity of just loving the trench run for the ride at Disneyland?
I get a little pukey.
Oh, did you?
And Star Tours, I get a little like.
Yeah, but no, I mean the one from like the 90s, like I mean the original Star Tours, or 2000. When did the first Star Tours come out?
Like 80s.
I get a little. They make me a little pukey. Star Tours makes me. It's the disconnect between.
Okay.
Like them jostling you and you being like, I'm not really moving.
Yeah, I got a little pukey. To be honest, on the Falcon.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that disconnect of my body's moving this way, but it's not really moving to what the screen is showing me.
Right.
There's a little inner ear thing that happens. I'll take Hyperspace Mountain, though.
Mm-hmm.
That just jostles me way too much.
Okay. Stay on target. That's one of the most tattooed phrases.
The red thing you're saying about the joint experience is... In the like 80s and 90s, before we had the internet, we were all at home with whoever we watched it for, going "Stay on target!" Like, and we all did this. And so when we meet, it's like, "I used to do this." Oh, so did I. Like, it's really funny.
Shared rituals.
Yeah.
It's like if you going back to Joseph Campbell, if you examine religions that were geographically separated, the origins of a lot of religions have the exact same, a lot of the same tropes. It's almost like us with Star Wars. We were disconnected by space and time, but when we come together, we're all like, we all are the same.
Same language.
Hey, is Celebration canceled?
I think it's, I don't think, I mean, they canceled Comic-Con. I don't think you can run Celebration.
It's supposed to be August, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. What, you mean, like, they just announced it, or you just asked?
No, I'm conjecturing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I would, honestly, I'd rather delay it and do it safer with better panels and guests than try to force something in.
And also so people have a chance to afford to go. Mm-hmm. Like if they're, you know, had a hard couple of months.
You guys want a good cry, watch the little montage they put on StarWars.com for May the 4th Be With You.
I saw, yeah, I didn't, well, I saw your post and then I didn't press it because I knew I was going to bawl. So I have
It's so good.
Okay, which is why I didn't watch it.
It's funny too because you know Biggs is Luke's friend coming up, but did you guys feel it when he sacrifices himself for Luke?
They didn't build him up enough, I don't think.
Back then, no. Yeah.
Do you feel it now, though? Now that you've got 40 years of building up who Biggs and Tank are and how unfair it is.
So good.
Every time I see that shot, I think of the ILM book. The big. They have them over there. They're the best. Big hardcover.
You guys seen book, the box of frames? They make the deluxe one someday when I'm a wealthy person. That's got the embossed wooden Yoda and Vader that holds them in the wood. Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's they have those. I saw it once at Skywalker Ranch in the library.
It's in the library, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can purchase it for a tiny $5,000.
That's a bargain.
Bargain.
It's printed on $100 bills, though. That's how they justify that price.
The two biggest Star Wars collectibles that I have is I have a Revenge of the Sith or Revenge of the Jedi poster, Revenge of the Jedi poster, without the dates. And then I have the original pencil sketch of Star Wars Marvel number 2 cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So those are my prize possessions.
Well, you might have the original pencil sketch, but I have the original pencil case. Okay.
Yes!
That is why Steel Saunders and I are friends. I have a tragic story. I saw that at the pharmacy by my house growing up in like 1990 when there was no Star Wars stuff. My friend and I was like, oh my gosh, there's this Return of the Jedi thing. We're both obsessed with Star Wars. We bought in whatever we could. And we walk up there and he yanked it from me. Like it was like, I thought it was like $1 and it was like $1.50 and he had $1.50 and I only had like 90 cents and he still has it.
Oh
my God. It was like early eBay sniping.
Yeah. I mean,
that shot of Leia when she steps into frame like that, JJ does a lot of that.
Yeah.
Where he'll show a background with nobody in it and then have somebody swing into it. Which my guess is he's just sort of, it's in his blood now from growing up watching Spielberg and Lucas.
Right.
That kind of framing. But screw these trackers. Where's that dang blast shield when you need it? Oh, so here's an interesting thing, and this is obviously what they did, but this is one of those movies where he's given a lightsaber in Act 1, he trains with it in Act 2, and then he never uses it again.
That's a good point.
But the lesson of it.
Yeah, it's a more metaphorical token, right?
But you know, like, studio notes today would go, well, you showed it twice, it has to save the day.
You're right, they would have pushed that. Absolutely.
You need to see the weapon the third time.
Yep.
Yeah, what is that rule of story? If you show a gun in the first act,
it's the Chekhov's rifle. Yeah.
Luke needs to put it in this little container, and it shoots out through the thing, and it goes into the exhaust port, and he uses the force to ignite it.
This is my favorite moment of the film.
What?
Yes. Yes, he was good.
Look at our smiles. I just looked up and all you have... Because it never goes away, does it? You're all clear,
kid. Now let's go. That's so good.
What?
Just 12 all over again when it happens. And this cue of music is amazing.
Whew.
So pretty.
Still good. Still good.
Remember, still good. The Force will be with you always.
Ugh. Great sound. The two video games I played in the 90s were X-Wing and TIE Fighter.
Oh, I loved those games.
Yeah.
Have the 1UP arcade. Sells the standy cabinet of the all three. Come to the Nerd Lair, Jen.
What? I've been. I don't remember. Where is it?
I don't know if I had it at the time, but
maybe that's why. Okay.
It's over there in the corner. Can you hear
me? I feel like I would have remembered that. Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it looks like the old arcade cabinets. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, damn. Yeah,
it's got Star Wars Empire and Jedi kind of all inside of its circuitry.
Okay, next time I'm at the lair, that's happening.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys watched this ceremony scene?
Yes.
When they take the music out? It is. I had to turn it off because I was like, this is going to ruin it. It's so creepy. They're all like looking at each other and smiling.
And chewing on.
Without the music, it's just like, oh.
Well, they also added in all the lip smacks. That's not from the actual truck. Like, somebody altered it. That's why Chewie just screams.
Some of my favorite Twitter gifs occur in this scene.
This music, though, it punches me in the feely place.
Yeah.
I
love that necklace.
Oh, right?
Not to dwell on new films so much, but I always thought the last film should have ended with something like this, where everyone's together and happy, and it's our final shot is happy. Like, that's like, like, this scene is like, delicious.
So good. Well, polished up, Freepio.
And that jacket that Skywalker.
I know! That was so nice in the comics where they had him on adventures dressed like that.
I'm also obsessed with the 70s, so this just fulfills all the buckets.
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, R2 looks great.
You know, that's the same jacket they use, I think, on Hoth for the snowspeeder pilots.
Really?
Oh!
Yeah, I think it's just orange. I think it is it's the same model jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, and Chewie doesn't get a medal till everybody's dead.
All right.
That's pretty good, guys.
There we have it. Star Wars, A New Hope. Thank you, guys. We're not going to watch the credits because we have Ahmed Best, Kyle Newman, Claire Grant, Jen Murrow, and some other surprises. Sam Witwer waiting to talk about how awesome the Star Wars prequels are with you guys. So any last words, Todd Steele?
Thank you so much. Again, I never tire of watching this movie, and I never tire of watching it with people who love it the way I do. So thanks for including me in this. May the Force be with you.
Yes, similarly, thanks for including us. This was the perfect thing to do. Like, just back to basics, fanning out. So, I just hope everyone enjoys May the Fourth, and let's Star Wars make them happy. It's good.
Thank you guys so much for joining
us. Hi to all the people you're about to hang with.
Oh, yeah. I never would have ever dreamed I'd get bumped by Ahmed Best for something. So this is really sick.
You all have a standing invitation to the Nerd Lair. So come on down.
Amazing. Well, yeah. I will hit you up about that. And Jen, you'll get your final word on this next panel.
I will, and I'll jump on the other one, I guess.
So
I miss you, Jen.
Oh, I miss you. Goodbye.
Thank you guys all so much. We're going to flip over and hand over to Kyle and Ahmed.
And I shall go.
Thanks, you guys.
Peace.
All righty. That is it for the commentary. Again, thanks to JC and Jen for putting all this on. And another thanks to JC and Jen and Todd for just giving me a great couple of hours on May the 4th. I had a lot of fun. That is quite a film. That is quite a film. If you're new to the podcast, please give us a subscribe on iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts from. If you're on iTunes, give us a sweet 5-star review. It bumps us up the rankings and lets other potential listeners know we're doing a cool thing. We also just had our Clone Wars finale episode up with Corey Van Dyke, who is infamously one of the biggest Clone Wars fans of all time. It's not a competition, but if it was, he'd be entering. And it's just chock full of Star Wars joy. He is just so pumped. We've got another Page Wars coming up with King Tom Chansky going through the details of another new release Star Wars book. I won't spoil it for you, but we'll be recording that tonight on the Patreon feed. And there is just a slew of classic episodes up there for listen to. Some of them are only available in part on the main feed or available in full on our Patreon, which just for $3 for the month, you will get access to over 600 back episodes, bonus episodes, full-length interviews, audio commentaries, comedy festival live shows, and so much more. That is patreon.com/steelwars. I do weekly Q&As where you guys can set the topics, ask the questions, and just pump out the content. And that is so appreciated. And if you are new to the podcast and want a couple of episodes to check out, people normally love my in-depth hour-long interview with director Krennic, Ben Mendelsohn himself. As far as I know, the only Star Wars podcast he has ever done. And if you're a Luke Skywalker fan, you're a Mark Hamill fan, check out my interview, or more of just a chat, with Nathan Hamill, son of Mark, about growing up Skywalker. They're always some good ones to start with. But thank you guys so much, and may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.